This morning's scripture will come from Joshua, the 6th chapter, starting at the 1st through the 27th verse. Now the gates of Jericho were tightly shut because the people were afraid of the Israelites. No one was allowed to go out or in. But the Lord said to Joshua, I have given you Jericho, its king, and all its strong warriors. You and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you are to march around the town 7 times, with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast of the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into the town. So Joshua called together the priests and said, take up the ark of the Lord's covenant and assign 7 priests to walk in front of it, each carrying a ram's horn. Then he gave orders to the people, march around the town, and the armed men will lead the way in front of the ark of the Lord. After Joshua spoke to the people, the 7 priests with ram's horn started marching in the presence of the Lord, blowing the horns as they marched. And the ark of the Lord's covenant followed behind them. Some of the armed men marched in front of the priest with horns, and some behind the ark with the priest continually blowing the horns. Do not shout, do not even talk, Joshua commanded. Not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. So the ark of the Lord was carried around the town once that day. And then everyone returned to spend the night in the camp. Joshua got up early the next morning, and the priests again carried the ark of the Lord. The 7 priests with ram's horn marched in front of the ark of the Lord, blowing their horns. Again, the armed men marched both in front of the priest with horns and behind the ark of the Lord. All this time, the priests were blowing their horns. On the 2nd day, they again marched around the town once and returned to camp. They followed this pattern for 6 days. On the 7th day, the Israelites got up at dawn and marched around the town as they had done before. But this time, they went around the town 7 times. The 7th time around, as the priests sound the loud blast of their horn, Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Jericho and everything in it must be completely destroyed as an offering to God. Only Rahab, the prostitute, and the others in her house will be spared, for she protected our spies. Do not take anything set apart for destruction, or you yourselves will be completely destroyed, and you will bring trouble on the camp of Israel. Everything made of silver, gold, bronze, or iron is sacred to the Lord and must be brought into his treasury. When the people heard the sound of the ram's horn, they shouted as loud as they could. Suddenly, the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. They completely destroyed everything in it with their swords, men and women, young and old, cattle, sheep, goats, and donkeys. Then the Israelites burned the town and everything in it. The only thing made from silver, gold, bronze, or iron were kept for the treasury of the Lord's house. The word of God for the people of God. Do you believe in miracles, my brothers and sisters? Yes, Lord. Do you believe God can make the impossible possible? Our scripture this morning is about an old famous story of Joshua and the Jericho walls. How many of you learned this story as children? Amen. What did you learn from this lesson? Anybody remember what you learned from this lesson? Follow what God says. I heard something over here. Someone else said something. Trust God. Amen. Amen. As a child, I was amazed by the stories in the Bible. It caused me to revere God and how awesome he was. Did you catch that? I said he was. These stories seem like distant accounts of a majestic God that was too mighty and powerful to ever be concerned about a little black girl from Tarrytown, New York. But I love to hear the stories anyway. They allowed me to dream. Dream impossible dreams. You see, I was never a girly girl. When I was growing up, no, I was a tomboy. So I was never interested in Prince Charming or any hero to come save me as a damsel in distress. No, sir. I wanted to be the heroine, the mighty warrior, the winner of the battles, valiant and honorable. So reading about Joseph and how he saved Israel, or Samson conquering the lions, or David and his slingshot, I have one of those. Oh, I couldn't get enough of these Bible stories, but they were just that, stories to me. Historical accounts of God's love for his special people, the Israelites. Never in my wildest dreams could I have ever imagined that the same God in the Bible stories loved me. Oh, to learn that God loved me meant so much to me. And knowing that this love he had for me, there was nothing that would be impossible for me to overcome with him. So I truly praise him for that. So I ask you again, my brothers and sisters, do you believe in miracles? Huh? Do you believe God can make the impossible possible? Well, the title of this morning's message is Tearing Down Impenetrable Walls. Huh? All of us have faced what we thought were impossible situations. Walls of all types, too vast to go around and too high to scale over, too fortified to go through. You know, normally when you have a problem, you're like, okay, Lord, I know you're going to go through it with me. But these walls were impenetrable. Lord, what are we going to do? Well, this morning's scriptures tell us of such walls, the walls of Jericho. Jericho was a formidable fortress. It amazed me when I started researching how the walls were actually made. It was a fortification system that at the base, there was a trench with a fortified retaining wall to hold the mountain dirt in. This fortified wall ran 46 feet up above ground level where the Israelites walked around. My God, what a wall. The wall was also 6 feet thick, on the other side of that wall, you would think that would be enough. No, no, there was an embankment. An embankment wide enough for people to live in and for it to be a part of the city. So you got over that wall, then you have this embankment with soldiers and people living, but still, you weren't in the city. There was another wall. At the top of the hill, there was another wall, another retaining wall that was 12 to 15 feet high and 6 feet thick. Another wall, which stood about a total of 20 to 26 feet high. My God, what a wall. So how on earth were the Israelites ever going to conquer this city? Now, Jericho had already heard about God parting the Jordan for the Israelites. And so all the land was afraid. What kind of God is this that will make the Jordan water stand up on edge on one side and go so dry that they walked across on dry land? They were frightened. The scripture says they were petrified in fear. My God, we know in our humanity, there was no way Israel was going to be able to do anything. But God, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down, Hebrews 11:30. So let's look a little closer. God gave Joshua specific instructions, as many times he gives us. Where can you find these instructions? In the word of God, amen. Where else will you hear these words from? Teaching, preaching, that's right. And the Holy Ghost, absolutely. So when you receive a word from the Lord, listen carefully, because there's usually a promise. A promise that only God can keep. So when you receive this word, make sure, be attentive, because there's usually instructions. God is not a man that he should lie. That which he says, he will do. So it is very important that you follow those instructions to the T. David learned a very sad lesson in his excitement for bringing the Ark of the Covenant back to Israel. Yes, yes, instead of carrying it on the backs of the priest, he put it on a wagon. And someone lost their life because of it. God believes that obedience is better than sacrifice. So obey his word to the letter. So in Joshua's obedience, he spoke to the people, gave them clear instructions, and told them to do exactly as he said. Well, the people of God, the Israelites, they obeyed. And because of their obedience, victory came to them. You know, I recently heard a testimony that blessed my heart and reminded me of God's tremendous goodness. A recent prayer request was shared, and a family member had sent a request for prayer for their mother that was going in for surgery. Well, the surgery was successful, but unfortunately she relapsed and experienced further complications. She was placed on life support, but was unresponsive. The doctors were concerned about her not having any brain activity and began preparing the family to consider whether to take her off of life support. So the family started making arrangements for her transition when she woke up. Don't tell me my God is not a God answering. He answers all prayers. That wall was knocked down. Some of the walls you will find in your life, they can be your children. They are driving you crazy. And they are far from what you have taught them. It could be your finances. Not knowing how you're going to pay the rent or your utility bill or put food on your table. It could be your job. You're hanging on to it because you need the little bit of money you get from it. But it is a horrible situation. Your marriage, as you try and try and try, and no matter what you do, things don't seem to come together. Your health, you've been given a report that you may need a heart transplant. What are you going to do? Your faith in God, you're struggling because you're angry because you lost your loved one. Whatever it is, bring it to the Lord in prayer. Prayer still works. Let's look a little closer in Joshua, the 3rd through 5th chapter. It retells the account of God parting the Jordan. It also talks about how Joshua was taken over from Moses. Moses has now died, and Joshua is now God's man. So Joshua did all that the Lord charged Moses to do with the Israelites. The first thing he did was he circumcised the entire male population. He celebrated Passover as a memorial to Yahweh's deliverance from the Egyptians. You may ask, Reverend Manning, why is this important? Well, the word of God reminds us that God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. With this in mind, the Israelites with Joshua are not the original Israelites. This is the second generation. These are their children. They died from their disobedience in the wilderness. So Joshua needed to make sure that they knew who God was. They were not there when the Israelites saw the great Red Sea part. They didn't see the fire by night nor the cloud by day. They did not eat manna in the desert. No, they weren't there at the foot of the mountain to hear the thunderous roar of God as he began to speak to his people. So it fell to Joshua to teach them and to remind them of who God was. And in their time, he consecrated them before the Lord, before they moved forward into battle. This was imperative. Imperative, life or death depended upon it. God requires obedience and faith. Even Joshua had to humble himself and submit in obedience when he saw the commander of the Lord's army stand before him. He asked him, "Are you friend or foe?" He said, "Neither. I am the commander of the Lord's army." So it's not about you, Joshua. It's not about the Israelites. It's not about the Canaanites. It's about God. My God. So in submitting, does this all help me with my walls? Well, just as Joshua and the Israelites had to reflect and remember, repent and consecrate, you too must do the same thing. You must give yourself an honest account and assessment of your life and where your relationship truly stands with Christ. Are you in right relations with Jesus? Would he call you his own? Or do you need to repent and turn back to him? If so, there's no shame in it. His arms are open wide, waiting for you to come running home. He is always ready to welcome you. And there's no time like the present. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him. In sincerity and faithfulness, serve the Lord. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Isaiah 55, 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So how do we deal with these walls? How do we tear them down? The Lord shared with me 3 points to share with you today. I'll be brief and then I'll take my seat. Point one, God never loses a battle. Plain and simple, it's not going to happen. So if God said it, it will be done, because he doesn't lose. And the battle is not yours, so trust him. In verse 2, the first thing the Lord tells Joshua is that he has already given Jericho, its king, and all the strong warriors into Joshua's hand. What a promise. My God. All Joshua and the Israelites had to do was to stay the course, be obedient, and follow God's instruction, and stand in faith. God Almighty had them covered, just as he has us covered right now. There are no walls that can separate us from the promises of God. He has never lost a battle, saints, and he never will. In 2 Chronicles 20, 15 and 17, God says, do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. But you will not even need to fight. Take your possessions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Hallelujah. Be strong and courageous, my brothers and sisters. If God said it, he will do it. He is for you. Our second point is, if God said it, believe it. It's done. Numbers 23:19 tells us, God is not a man, so he does not lie. He is not human, so he does not change his mind. He has even spoken and failed to act, has he? No. Has he ever promised and not carried it through? No. We only doubt God when we fail to remember all he has done. The word of God says in Hebrews 11:30, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell after the people marched around them for 7 days. Faith is our ultimate weapon. Ephesians 6:16 states, take up your shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the fiery flames of the evil one. And Hebrews 11 states, But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. We must always remember that God is bigger than any problem, any wall, any circumstance, any person that will ever come against us. There is nothing, nothing I say, not a thing that he cannot do. So with this in mind, my third point and final point, shout now. You don't have to wait till the battle's over. Shout now. Give him praise and glory for what he has done. Shout now. Don't wait to see the walls fall. Shout and give him praise. Verse 16. The seventh time around, the priest sounded the loud blast of the horns. Joshua commanded the people, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. Can you hear the shofar blowing loud and clear? The Lord is here. The Lord is here. And the people shouting in praise to him. It must have been a wonderful sight. Give God praise, people. Give God the praise. Your praise confuses the enemy's schemes. And take back what he has stolen from you. You belong to God. Shout, for he has given you the victory. Hallelujah. 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 The account of Jericho is a wonderful spiritual lesson for us, people. Now, it's not some historical account. God is now. His promises are now and amen. There are times when we find ourselves facing these enormous walls that we really have no idea how we're going to overcome them. We just came through a pandemic. We had no idea what was going to happen or if we would live. Oh, but nothing's impossible for our God. Oh, those enormous walls that are impossible to break by our own strengths are not impossible for God. If we put our faith in him and follow his commands, he will perform great and mighty things and give us the victory. In closing, my beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith. Praying in the Holy Spirit, keeping yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Amen. God bless each and every one of you.